Hello, this is Neil Ewers in Madison, Wisconsin, and this is my Thanksgiving podcast to all of you. I've been reading a lot lately on the list about people's lives, about the frustrations they've had as a result of being blind. And I too have had such frustrations. And although I can't say I'm thankful for being blind, I am very thankful for the fact that I have learned some things as a result of being blind that I don't think I would have learned had I not been. Yes, there are the frustrations, and I don't mean to minimize those. But I think those of us who are blind learn to see in other ways. I know people come up to me and say, "Oh, you must hear a lot better than I do. How much better do you hear than I do?" Well, I don't know. I can't put myself in your ears. I wish I could. I'd love to know what other people hear. But I do know one thing. Those of us who are blind have to become keenly aware of our hearing, our sense of touch, our sense of smell, etc. About 10 years ago, I wrote a book called To Touch the Stars. It consisted of a lot of articles I wrote about growing up being blind. It's no longer in print because I'm working on a second edition. But I wanted to read you one of the stories because it suggests what I have learned and what I'm sure many of you have learned about using your other senses. It's my Thanksgiving gift to all of you in appreciation for all that you have shared with me and others. The story is called In the Well. When I was growing up in Virginia, there was an old abandoned well in our yard. As a small boy, I used to sit somewhat precariously near its edge and throw stones into its gaping mouth to see if I could hear them hit the bottom. What seemed like an eternity would pass before the sound of splashing water would echo up out of the cold, damp uncertainty of the hole. I would ask anyone who passed by to look into the well and tell me what they could see. The answer was always the same. "It's too dark down there to see much of anything, Neil. Why are you so curious about it anyway? It's just an old well." I remember that day in the fifth grade, when I learned just enough about the rate of falling bodies to rush home, collect a pile of rocks, and toss them, one by one, into the well, counting what I hoped were seconds as they fell. I also discovered that after a hard rain, the splash of the stones in the water below had a much fuller sound. And when it was dry, when the air in your mouth felt dusty when you breathed, and the grass crackled beneath your feet, the sound of the water seemed to have a higher pitch. If you crept cautiously on your stomach up to the very edge of the well and sang hello into the damp and musty-smelling air that surrounded your mouth, the singing echo would fold back upon itself as it floated up and up until it surrounded you with its song. A few days before my 12th birthday, my father made arrangements to have the well filled in. He was afraid some of the children in the neighborhood might fall in. Oh, I begged and pleaded with him to leave it just the way it was. "Oh, I'm not worried about you falling in," he said. "It's the other children I'm concerned about. They don't have the same respect for it that you do." "But how will I ever know how deep it is, or what's down there, if it's all covered up with dirt?" "Tell you what," he said, laying down his shovel. "If you promise not to be sad when it's all filled in, I'll let you discover what's there for yourself." He got a long piece of rope and secured one end to a big oak tree near the well. The other end he wound around my waist and under my arms, carefully tying the knot so it wouldn't come undone. Picking me up in his arms, he walked to the edge of the well and gently lowered me over the side. The cool, damp, unknown world below engulfed my feet, my waist, my chest, and finally, my head. As my face dropped below the level of the ground, the warmth of the sun on the back of my neck abruptly disappeared. The sounds from above grew muffled and faint, and then disappeared altogether. I was dangling at the end of a rope in the center of a new and different world. An earthy odor hung about my nose. The air was thick and still, and at first somewhat hard to breathe. It clung to my face and hair and penetrated into my jeans. I could hear the presence of the walls all around me, much as I have done since while walking through a tunnel. But these walls were much closer and seemed to completely enclose me. When I sucked in my breath to sing hello, the mere inhalation of breath echoed back to me from somewhere far below. And when the hello finally came, it was like a choir of voices, all sounding like my own, spiraling up from the bottom of the well and ricocheting off the walls in all directions. I reached a damp hand into my jeans and pulled out a smooth, round stone. I held it for a moment between my thumb and forefinger, and then, with a sense of mounting excitement, I let it slip from my grasp. It twice struck the rock walls beneath me before it plunged into the water below. The sound of the impact seemed hollow and somewhat disquieting as I realized for the first time how far above the bottom I really was. I pulled another rock from my pocket and sent it on its way. 2 full seconds elapsed before its flat, smooth surface struck the water with a slap that sent shivers up the back of my neck. I reached out a cautious hand toward the wall. A layer of wet, coarse moss clung to the side. I pulled away a few handfuls to feel what lay beneath. The moss made a soft swishing sound as it slithered down the sides of the well in pursuit of my 2 stones. I placed my nose against the bare earth. The smell was strangely sweet and full of pleasure. I was just reaching out to explore the opposite wall when I heard the squeak of the rope against the side of the well, and I felt myself being slowly pulled up toward the sounds of birds and the warmth of the sun. "Okay," I said, as my father loosened the knot and unwound the rope from around my waist. "Now, you can cover it up." For weeks after my adventure in the well, the neighborhood children would crowd around me, and in voices hot with envy, they would want to know, "What was it like down there? What did you find? Weren't you afraid?" They clamored after my father to put them on the end of the rope and lower them into the magic world that I had described. But they who had stood at the edge and peered wide-eyed into the darkness, seeing nothing, can no longer go where I have gone. They can only stand on the slightly uneven ground above where the well used to be and wish.